It was no papier-mâché family that sent Carol laughing and reeling away from the dish line that night in the fall of 1966. It was a horny hot dog man standing atop a Matterhorn of Holyoke Commons baked beans. A pipe cleaner wiener jutted jauntily from the appropriate spot. In his hand was a little University of Maine pennant, on his head a scrap of blue hanky folded to look like a freshman beanie. Along the front of the tray, carefully spelled out in crumbled cornbread, was the message, "Eat more Maine beans." A good deal of edible artwork came along the conveyor belt during my time on the Palace dish line, but I think that one was the all-time champ. Stoke Jones would no doubt have called it a waste of time, but I think in that case he would have been wrong. Anything with the power to make you laugh over 30 years later isn't a waste of time. I think something like that is very close to immortality. I punched out at 6:30, walked down the ramp behind the kitchen with one last bag of garbage, and dropped it into one of the four dumpsters lined up behind the commons like snubby steel boxcars. When I turned around, I saw Carol Gerber and a couple of other kids standing by the corner of the building, smoking and watching the moon rise. The other two started away just as I walked over, pulling my Pall Malls out of my jacket pocket. "Hey, Pete, eat more Maine beans," Carol said and laughed. "Yeah." I lit my cigarette. Then, without thinking about it much one way or the other, I said, "There's a couple of Bogart movies playing at Hauk tonight. They start at 7. We've got time to walk over. Want to go?" She smoked, not answering me for a moment, but she was still smiling, and I knew she was going to say yes. Earlier, all I'd wanted was to get back to the third-floor lounge and play hearts. Now that I was away from the game, however, the game seemed a lot less important. Had I been hot enough to say something about beating the snot out of Ronnie Malenfant? It seemed I had. The memory was clear enough. But standing out here in the cool air with Carol, it was hard for me to understand why. "I've got a boyfriend back home," she said at last. "Is that a no?" She shook her head, still with a little smile. The smoke from her cigarette drifted across her face. Her hair, free of the net the girls had to wear on the dish line, blew lightly across her brow. "That's information. Remember that show, The Prisoner? Number 6. We want information." "I've got a girlfriend back home," I said. "More information." "I've got another job, tutoring math. I promised to spend an hour tonight with this girl on the second floor. Calculus. Ag. She's hopeless and she whines. But it's $6 an hour." Carol laughed. "This is getting good. We're exchanging information like mad." "It doesn't look good for Bogey, though," I said. I wasn't worried. I knew we were going to see Bogey. I think I also knew there was romance in our future. It gave me an oddly light feeling, a lifting-off sensation in my midsection. "I could call Esther from Hauk and tell her calc at 10 o'clock instead of 9, Carol said. "Esther's a sad case. She never goes out. What she does mostly is sit around with her hair in curlers and write letters home about how hard college is. We could see the first movie, at least." "That sounds good," I said.